Hey, everybody. Thank you for being part of the Bread Service this morning. We're in this great series we've started last week entitled The Fight. The Fight. Winning the fight for your life. Pretty serious business. We're trying to bring some lightheartedness into the series just by this fact that I can kind of get in some garb each week and we can have some fun with this. The whole premise of the series is that we are in a fight. We really are. There's forces at work fighting for the control and dominance of the world, of nations in this world, and also of individual people. People including you and me. And so in this series, we're going to explore what we could call really the global and also the cosmic beyond our globe. Forces or this fight that we're involved with, and we want to learn from the Bible how to engage it and win it in our lives, okay, according to God's will, according to God's will. And so we're looking at the Bible, and today I invite you to look at the notes that we'd have before you. I want to read the first section on this handout of notes that are on your table. I invite you to follow along in that. A lot of scriptures given there. As well as there'll be some on the screen today too. Look at what the Bible says. This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you. That would have been God's word, prophecies or word from God, like we have in our scriptures today, made concerning you that by them, look what it says, you may fight the good fight. And we talked last week about how a lot of fights aren't so good in our world today. But there are righteous wars, in my opinion, and there are good fights according to God. And this word fight right here in this first verse has to do with warfare, soldiering, that kind of military conflict, that kind of fight. And then look at toward the last part of that letter, still in 1 Timothy, notice that he brings this idea of fighting the good fight up again. Fight the good fight of faith, take hold of the eternal life which you were called. Now, this word for fight, if you were to look at that word, it was different than the word he used at the beginning of his letter in 1 Timothy chapter 1. This word means, it's where we get our term agonize from. It's an idea of deep struggle. An athletic contest or battle is what this is referencing to. And it's used quite often in the Bible as well. Still a fight, still a contest, still a battle, we'd say. And so last week we took home this idea that the scripture, the Bibles that we have in plentiful copies today and electronically, puts fight in the fight for your life. Because scripture strengthens our faith and it constructs a good conscience. That's what the Bible will do. As you take it in day by day or as often as you can, you'll find that you will have more fight in the good fight for your life. Now that lesson last week is online and you can go there either onto our website or through our app and or even through YouTube and find that and listen to it if you'd like to. I'd like to go on to one other scripture before we deal with Rocky today, okay? And what we're talking about this morning in the fight. Look what it says over here in 2 Timothy, a second letter that the Apostle Paul, which he was a church planter, an evangelist person who took the gospel to the broad world of the Gentile peoples of the time. He says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure." So he's talking about the end of his life. Some of us are closer to that than others of us. I understand that. Some of you that are younger, you don't even think about the end of your life. At least I didn't when I was young. It was like, oh, so far removed. But just remember, none of us necessarily has tomorrow as a promise. We just live today, and we hope for the fact that we would live tomorrow. So we always would be want to be ready. But look what Paul says after his number of years in verse 7. He says, "I have fought the good fight." He can look back and he see that. Look what he says, athletic terminology now. "I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me," and this is important to understand, look what he's looking forward to. "There's in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And he goes on to say, and I've emphasized it, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearing. So that's every one of us, hopefully, that as we long for the appearing of Jesus Christ, his second coming, we too are in the place of, we could say, the writer here, who is looking to have kept the faith, to have finished the race, to have fought the good fight, because he wants the crown of righteousness. He wants to make it. He wants to finish. And he wants to finish well. That's part of the fight, the good fight, fight. Okay? And so with that, I want us to look at a little bit more about this morning's message about Rocky. Rocky had a heart. Now, this show goes way back to like when I graduated from high school. I mean, it was like back in the late 70s, all right? I'm giving my age away here. And that's when Rocky first came out. So I just want to ask you, how many of you ever seen the first Rocky movie? It's like a classic anymore. Most of us have. Okay, there's probably not one or two people that have not actually seen this. And Rocky was a guy who had a great deal of heart in his fight. What he didn't have was very good technical skills. In fact, it was Mickey who owned the gym. This is all placed in the Philadelphia environment. He owned this boxing gym where he would train boxers for, you know, low-level fights and such in that day, supposedly, right? This is not a true story, but it's a story that has some great aspects to us for us to understand. So he said to Rocky one day, because they didn't get along, and Mickey was a little upset at Rocky. Rocky's wanting to know why you're so upset with me. And he says, "You have heart, but you fight like an ape," basically, is what he said. "You have heart, but you fight like an ape." And that heart, if you've watched that show, is what propelled Rocky forward, because he was going after a certain kind of prize in this particular fight that he was offered. And we'll talk a little bit more about that, but I want us to focus in on this idea of the heart in the fight. How important is your heart in the fight? Look what it says over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to show you and prove to you that the Bible and boxing can go together. Okay, here it is. "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever." Now, he's talking about the games here, which do include the Olympic Games, which started, you know, B.C. way back, hundreds of years before Christ came. Every 4 years they had the Olympic, but they also had some other kinds of games as well. And the people of the time, just like people today, understood the athletic contests, the athletic fights of their day. And here is God, through the inspired writer Paul, pulling out these things that people could relate to help them in the good fight for their faith. And so we do the same today, and we try to. Any good speaker would try to bring about examples or illustrations that form windows that people can identify with and understand. Okay, I got that now. As I understand the heart of Rocky, I understand that God wants our heart set toward the prize above in order to win this fight for the faith. And so it goes on here, doesn't it? In verse 34, it says, Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. There it is, folks. Boxing is in the Bible, okay? It's right there. Because that was one of the things they did at the time. They boxed just like they still do today. Like Rocky was trying to do, right? So, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. Now, I made some emphasis here on not be disqualified for the prize. In the previous verses, There was the prize was brought up a couple times because that's what you compete for, right? So right now there's a competition for the NBA, National Basketball Association Finals, the champions of the National Basketball Association, right? So there's a fight, you could say. Well, they're playing a game of basketball, but it's a contest nonetheless. And there's some intensity. And do you think there's any heart on that basketball floor when you watch a game? There's an incredible amount of heart. And we got it in football games today. We've got it as we watch runners, as we got it as we would watch a fighter fight in the ring. There's a tremendous amount of heart that goes into this. And if you note here that the prize is to win the race, that's the motivation to compete, to sweat, to train like Rocky was doing. It's a motivation to win. We need that same motivation in life today as we follow Jesus Christ. We need a motivation that has the end goal in mind. We need a motivation that has the ultimate prize in mind. And that's what the Apostle Paul was using here as he talked about the fight when he was determining his departure was near. He said, "Could I just tell? I'm not long for this world. And I've fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've made it all the way without becoming disqualified." Without becoming disqualified. Every one of us would want that. And so we go through the fight to win. We go through and train to win just like Rocky did. I want us to ask and answer three questions. They're right there on your handouts. Let's take the first one here this morning as we gain some insight and understanding and empower ourselves to fight the good fight as best we can in this world. What's the win for us? We're talking about the prize. We're talking about, you know, making it to the end, getting this crown and crown of righteousness, these terminologies. What's the prize for us? What's the prize for you that'll call you to fight, to go through intense training, to sweat a little in your life to gain this particular prize? What is that all about? And for Rocky, if you remember the story, he didn't think he could win and beat Apollo Creed. He was the heavyweight champion of the world, and Rocky was this kind of loser guy. Mickey said, "I don't even want to train you. You've got heart, but I don't want to train you. You're out there as a collector for a loan shark, breaking people's bones to get back money that the loan sharks have loaned to these people in a disadvantage. When you're going out and doing their bidding," Mickey was upset at Rocky for doing that kind of thing. "That's what you're doing, you know." So what was Rocky's prize? What was his win? He knew he couldn't beat this Apollo Creed. I mean, there just was too big a difference, and he could really readily see that. You know what Rocky wanted? Any of you remember? He wanted to go the distance. All he wanted to do. He wanted to go the distance. He wanted to make it 15 rounds with the heavyweight champion of the world. That would be a win. For Rocky, that was the win. He just wanted to get there, the distance. And so he trained, and he did one-arm push-ups, and he did all this stuff, not to win the championship, but just to go the distance. That was his win. And wouldn't it be, you know, put yourself in his place in that scenario, that would be it. What was Paul's win, the one who wrote this and is talking about the prize? It's talking about going through the intense amount of strict training or self-control and disciplines that it takes as an athlete. How does that relate to Paul? What is he talking about when he's talking about this training? And if we go back a couple verses in chapter 9, he says this, "I do all things for the sake of the gospel so that I may become a fellow partaker of it." And then he goes in, "Do you not know that all who run," and he uses this illustration of the fight, athletic fights or contests. And if we go back a little further, we can see what he means when he says that I might become a fellow partaker. I do all things for the sake of the gospel. This is Paul's win.
This is what he wants to go the distance on. This is what he wants to make sure of when he says, I fought the good fight, I finished the race. This is his win. Let me go back just a couple verses and just listen. You won't have these on your notes or on the screen. He says, though I'm free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that, here it is, that I may win more. To the Jews I become like a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being myself without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might become weak. That I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all means I might save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I might become a fellow partaker of it. Paul wanted to finish his calling that God gave him. God called him to preach the gospel, to take this good news to the whole world at the time, beyond Palestine or Israel of that day, to the whole Mediterranean civilized world. That was his call. That's what he wanted. For him to win was to get that done. And to do it winning as many as he can, which means that he would have to discipline himself to be able to relate to certain people groups. And as missionaries go across the lands to other parts of the world, they do the same thing. That's Paul's win. There's this idea of eternal life involved and the rewards involved. Obviously fulfilling our potential, living our lives in accordance to the purpose of the creator of our lives. Fulfilling that, all of that is part of the win for the Apostle Paul. And friends, I would suggest that at least part of that's part of our win. Part of the win for us. How many of you want to go to heaven? That's your win, isn't it? That's a win. That's a prize. How many of you would love to have some rewards in heaven for some things you've done here? Because God is a rewarder. God is a rewarder. So you would, you know. And how many of you would like to take as many people to heaven with you that you know of today that need God, that need salvation from the condition of their lives and sin? Yes, those are wins, we'd say. That's going the distance in our way of looking at it. To win, this kind of win is worth the fight. This kind of win, friends, is worth the fight. God wants us to put our eyes on the prize. He wants us to look at the win so that we're willing to go through whatever it takes in the fight in this life. Because there's a fight for control and dominance of your life. There's a fight for it going on. And many people don't even realize it, that perhaps out in the world they just don't know. But as followers of Jesus, we are to know, and God asks us to know, and helps us to understand. Now, there's something here, though, that God wants to caution us about. He wants to warn us about, all right, with regard to this fight and this prize. And so here it is. He goes on, and there's this warning that he says here, starting in verse 1 of chapter 10. Look what it says. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ, the same rock whom we drink from today. That's the same spiritual drink that they had that accompanied them. In other words, God was with them, just as he is with us. They had privileges as being followers of God at the time, just as we do today. They had advantages in the fight for their lives at that time as the people of God, as they were being led out of slavery in Egypt, freed from that bondage by God through Moses, and as they wandered and as they were on the way to the promised land, which is a type of heaven for us. That's our prize. That was their prize. What happened to them, though? What's God saying here in the writing of the Bible in this place? They had it won, basically. With the privileges and advantages that they had, we do too. We're being identified with these people of God from the Old Testament. Now, this is really important because he wants us to look more closely at this because there's some dangers potentially for us if we're not careful. And so they had all this, but as the Bible goes on to say in verse 5, nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now, these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Let me share that last underlined, emphasized phrase. These things, the things that happened to them, occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Mickey told Brocky as he was training him, and he could see Rocky's power, his strength. He said, "You're very dangerous. You're very dangerous." Rocky had his eye on the prize. He had his eye on going the distance. He had his eye on this grand opportunity. And if he'd have taken his eye off of that, if he'd put his heart on something else, and he was warned, don't put your heart on this. Watch out, you know, don't put your heart on this woman. There was a woman involved, okay? And so he was like, and he says, "You're very dangerous." But he wouldn't be very dangerous if he'd taken his eyes off the win, if he'd taken his eyes off the prize. If he'd set his heart on other things, he would start to lose his fight that he was growing in, friends. And God's kind of telling us the same thing right here. And let me just ask you, in a very personal way, ask yourself this. Is my heart set on the prize, really? Why don't you say that out loud with me? Is my heart set on the prize? How important this is, that we are looking toward our final reward, that we're looking beyond this world to the world that's been prepared for us, that we're looking toward heaven, that if we died today, we'd go to heaven, that we're assured of that. My heart is set there. That's what I'm counting on. That's what I believe in. It's Jesus Christ who gave that to me by what he did. That's what I'm holding on to. But friends, what happened to the Old Testament people is they took their eyes off God and they put their eyes on some other things. Bible says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. That's Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Guard your heart. And so let's ask the second question then. What temptations of the heart threaten to disqualify us from the win? What temptations of the heart threaten to disqualify us from the win? That's another fill in there, the word temptations. And the Bible goes on and just shares some of those temptations. These are ones that are common to all. These are temptations that could happen to us as well as what happened to them. So it says in verse 7 of chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. That would be pagan worship partying, which culminated usually in sensuality and orgies. It was part of their worship of the false gods of the time. And they got into some pretty hairy stuff, but that was their way of worship. And so at that time, there were 3,000 that died by the sword over that, as well as others. Look what it says in verse 8. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. So there's a people lost sight. They set their heart on some evil things in their lives at the time instead of on the prize of what God had provided, instead of on the win of the fight through God's will. They set their eyes on these other things. And what happened, obviously there was some great destruction and death that came upon them. And one day, 23,000 of them died in the plague. And on your handout, I've given you the places back in the Old Testament Bible. You can go back and look at that occurrence. and read more about it if you'd like to. The third one, verse 9, we should not test Christ as some of them did and were killed by snakes. They became very impatient, the children of Israel did, as they were wandering through their 40 years of time on the way to their prize, their heaven, the promised land that God was bringing to them, the land of Canaan. And they became impatient, and here's the deal. When they became impatient, they spoke against God. And they spoke against Moses, one of God's leaders. You ever become impatient and cursed? You know, and maybe took the name of God's holy name in vain in an empty way, in just a way that, bleh, wow, be careful. I mean, we don't want to get impatient and mad at God for some of the things that are happening in our lives. Well, in a big way, this is what the children of Israel did, in a big way. And, poisonous snakes got them. Poisonous snakes all over the place got them. Verse 10, do not grumble as some of them did, were killed by the destroying angel. 14,700 of them died by a plague because they grumbled, they complained, instead of being thankful that they were free and they were on the way somewhere, even though it was hard, even though they had to, you know, suit up and fight every day, even though they had to go through some training in the wilderness, so to speak. They complained and grumbled rather than were thankful for where they had gotten from the place that they were. So friends, these are things that aren't just things that they had as a problem. But the Bible goes on to say these things happened, verse 11, to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the culmination of the age has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Be careful that you don't fall and are destroyed from not guarding your heart. Be careful your heart doesn't get seduced. Be careful you don't set your heart on evil things. And that's what God's telling us to do. Because we're in a fight for our lives, friends. We're in a fight for our lives. So here, please hear the word of God on this. Temptation can lead to sin, and sin can disqualify us from the win. And so we want to turn our hearts fully to the win, to the prize, to what God has before us. And be careful of other cravings and other lusts and desires in this life. The win is worth the fight. Can you say that with me? The win is worth the fight. The fight's going to be hard. The fight's going to have temptations. The fight's going to have all these things that are going to happen. And you're going to get sweaty and you're going to suit up and it's going to be hard. But you will get stronger because Scripture will put the fight in the fight. And so we need to be in that training. And we want to be in that training as followers of Christ because of the prize. Because we want to win. We want to go the distance. We want to come to our days when we're saying, oh boy, it's getting close. And we say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And so God gives us some incredible power to be able to do that. Look what it goes on to say here. Here's some great news that we'll be closing down this message with for today. As we heed the warnings of history, look at verse 13 of chapter 10. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. This temptation to sin, this temptation, this war, this trial that we have, this testing that happens in our lives. It's the same testing, it's the same temptations that happened, you know, 3,500 years ago. It's the same temptations that happened 2,500 years ago. It's the same temptations that'll happen 500 years from now, if the Lord tarries in coming. Same temptations are common to everyone. Don't think that you have some unique, my life is worse than everyone else's. Let me tell you about it. Well, there are other people we could find that have had similar temptations that you have. And they might have blown up over it, and you could blow up over it, but God promises you that you don't have to. Look what the verse says. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so you can endure it. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. You can flee from some of the temptations of this life like that. You can get away from it. And God has provided that. God is faithful to provide that, and you can run from those temptations to sin and get away from them. You can do that. God promises you can. God is faithful to that call. The win is worth the fight. What's the training? Last question we're going to ask and answer this morning. What's the training involved in helping us win? What's the training? Because Paul was talking about the training, and he's talking about how he was going to box, you know, in the sense of how he was going to run. He was talking about beating his own body, making it his slave, not letting the flesh and the lusts of our bodies control our mind and our spiritual direction in our fulfillment and obedience to doing what God's way and will would have us to do. And so what is that? Look what the verse says in verse 25 again. This is about where we started. Everyone who competes in the games goes into, I think I've emphasized it, strict training. That's simply the word self-control. Self-control. Now, self-control, just by what it says, has to do with self. We have something to say about this. But I also want you to know that the fruit of God's Spirit active in our life will produce self-control. It's part of the fruit of His Spirit being in us. So God helps us as we would take control, as we would put disciplines into effect, as we would, you know, pump iron spiritually or do push-ups spiritually and those kinds of things. God will create a strength to be able to help us to win. And so look what it says. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and I make it my slave. Love that, don't you? And so the example that's given in the Bible is you can relate to the athletic games. You can relate to these fights and contests that are going on in the world and what it takes to win. Use that as an illustration. It's going to take that sometimes in your spiritual fight in your life. And this is the most important fight, the fight for your life. The stakes are the very highest. And friends, God wants you to win it. We want to win it ourselves, don't we? And so some of the things in strict training we would stop doing. I had a running coach one time back in my running days in high school that said, don't eat junk food. Don't do. So it's part of strict training. There's some things you want to cut out. Sometimes when you're following Jesus Christ, there's some things in your life you want to say, this is not helping me get closer to God or to follow God very well. Maybe I need to cut this out. For those of you who like soda pop, how many of you like soda pop? I do. You guys are going to know. You know I'm going to say something bad about soda pop, don't you? Okay, so, this one outfit that was training Olympic athletes would always come to them and said, okay, you got all this dietary restriction stuff. What about soda pop? You know. And, of course, he'd go, no, don't do anything with tons of sugar in it. Don't do that. Well, what about the diet soda pop? He says, and this was his take, really if you think about it, soda pop is simply polluted water. Pure water is the best thing for you. All right, now I'm not saying anything against soda pop. Continue to drink your soda pop. I just want you to plant a seed in there if you were planning on being an Olympic athlete, okay? So soda pop, some things we would add, good habits of the heart, disciplines of the heart. If you noticed, it said these are things that were written about, meaning that the people could go back and read about what happened to God's people in the past that would become powerful for them. So they were reading scripture, which would help them, and it would be something that would be a habit that would be very valuable in their training. So reading the Bible, we say that all the time. Praying is one of those habits, spiritual habits. Like an athlete would want to train on some certain weights. A spiritual athlete in the contest for the fight of your life, in this war of the cosmic and global concerns, the ones that are going on, the war that's going on in the air, and has an effect on us. Praying is a powerful warfare activity. Gathering, See to it that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart, the Bible says, a heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage everyone daily. We do that as we gather and connect, and we encourage each other, just as what we're trying to do here right now. And we could go on and on with various kinds of habits or spiritual disciplines that are said, they're talked about sometimes, that help us to build the heart, even as the heart, in a circular way, the heart focused on God needs to remain there. Focused, it's heart set on God. We're set on the win. And the win is, friends, always worth the fight. We have at the end of our time a response period here that we share the connection card. This has been brought up before, but I just want to invite every one of you to connect with us this morning, turning this in, writing down a comment or two on the back, a prayer request, or perhaps this morning you're saying to yourself, I need to take a step. I need to go forward toward God. And there's some opportunities to check some boxes that says, okay, I'm going to do this. And I just want to, you know, encourage you, urge you, take a step of courage for the fight for your life, even today, if that's a need on your heart or it's been something that you've been kind of in your own spirit urged to do, I need to do this. Take a step this morning. Respond on these cards. We're also going to have communion in this response time, and anyone here is welcome to communion. Communion is about the remembering what God has done for us in Christ, that He died for us, that He went all the way, that Jesus finished His fight, and it was for the sake of all of us, friends. And that communion is available for you to remember what it cost for your life to have that win, okay? That ultimate win of heaven. It came through Jesus Christ, and He wants us to be faithful, and He instituted the communion that we might be reminded of that and continue to be faithful. I also, in this time period, want to share a scripture. I'm reading through the Bible. I hope some of you are reading through the Bible with me. And yesterday was the 3rd of June. And in the 3rd of June, I read through Proverbs chapter 3, if I can find it here. Proverbs 3 has some great stuff to say. So if you haven't read any of Proverbs very recently, just go back and read Proverbs 3, even the first half. Look at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Wow. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll make your path straight. My. Really? That's pretty big promises. I mean, those are probabilities that we have from the wisdom of God's Word. I love that. Do not be wise in your own eyes. This is verse 7. For the Lord, fear the Lord, turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body, refreshment to your bones. Don't be wise in my own eyes. Be humble, okay? I get that. That's really cool. These are power-packed verses, chapter 3 of Proverbs. And then it says this, honor the Lord, this is verse 9 and 10, honor the Lord with your wealth and from the first of all your produce. Now, there's probably not very many farmers in here, so you get the idea that the first of what God gives us in our income, He allows us to be able to make money. The first, He says. Here's the first. So He says that. Honor the Lord from your wealth, from the first of all your produce. So, and here's the results. This is what's crazy. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. You mean I get things, I get income, and I give some of it away? And then I'm going to have more of it? Mathematicians in here, to me that just doesn't add up. But what God does in our lives is beyond math, friends. It's beyond our own wisdom, what God does in His wisdom in our lives. And so trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord is what He calls us to. And so we're sharing, you'll receive in the mail this week, we're sharing, this is some of these booklets on the table, what we've shared with our supporters as a brand new church. We're just 20 months old. We're just beginning to walk, okay? and we're going to enter our terrific twos pretty soon as a church. But we're sending one of these to everybody in the church that's given any money to us, that's fairly regular with us, along with a letter, because we're going to be trying to reach some milestone goals, some benchmarks that we need to reach as a new church. And so we're just going to be encouraging ourselves a little more with respect to the commitments we would have toward what God is doing at the branch in the coming months. And so just to warn you about that, it's going to come in the mail. You'll probably get it tomorrow or the next day. I'm going to have a word of prayer. We're going to be able to have a worship song, and you can go and take communion. You can complete your connection card. You can give an offering if you'd like to, if this happens to be a week that where you would give. Oh, God, receive from us this day all the glory and the praise, the thanks that you're due from each one of our hearts. God, if there are any here that are hurting, struggling, need some healing, need a special touch from you, may they either have received it, God, or may they walk away with that touch, continuing to heal and bring help into their lives. God, you are the great healer, for in Christ we've been made whole. Because of Jesus, our sin is gone, and we trust in that offering for our lives this morning again as we take communion, as we worship before you. In Jesus' name, amen.